the thing on the leash. Of course, you had heard the tales of Innsmouth prior to your travels there. You'd thought yourself prepared for those strange denizens so long shrouded in mystery. It was your studies at Miskatonic University that brought you to that desolate port. You had been researching early colonial trade routes throughout New England for your dissertation when you discovered the records for Innsmouth to be quite incomplete. The school's librarian advised you against a journey to that dilapidated town, but you needed that information for your work, and it would no doubt be available amongst the town archives. The train to Innsmouth was oddly vacant. For a while, you imagined you were the only rider. Eventually, you realized a lone figure sat in a seat at the far end of the car, his face obscured by a local newspaper. You wondered briefly how the rail line could possibly continue to operate with so few passengers. But such thoughts were quickly lulled by the steady huffing of the locomotive engine and vibration of the seat. You dozed much of the journey. Arriving in Innsmouth, you were greeted by a pale, bleak day. The harbor was overcast with clouds, almost bluish in color. The humid, salt air suggested an early, foggy evening would soon be upon you. You made your way quickly to the town's sole inn. That first night you spent in Innsmouth left you chilled and shaken. The lobby of the inn was as drab and gray as the town itself, its sole occupant a surly innkeeper who stared at you with a suspicious glare before handing over the key. You found your way to your room. The paint was peeling from the walls. A bizarre portrait hung above the bed, a riotous clash of colors that vaguely suggested something inhuman and sexual. The bed itself was serviceable, and despite your nap on the train, you found yourself suddenly exhausted from your travels and quickly fell asleep. You awoke with a start sometime very late. The room was dark, and only strange shadows were illuminated by the subdued light cast through the window. You had been dreaming something terrible. You were dizzy and slightly nauseous, your head filled with thoughts of giant creatures devouring the world, but not before they consumed all mankind, and you. You, for some reason, were the subject of particular attention. You felt strangely violated, as if ethereal tentacles had caressed your brain while you slept. As you lie there contemplating your night terrors, you thought you heard a faint whisper. No, not heard, felt. Something calling you from the night. Surely you must have been dreaming again already, for you had never felt so truly alone before that night. You must have slept again, for the next thing you knew was the sun streaming through the window, warming your face. It seemed even Innsmouth could be blessed with a sunny day. You arose quickly, shaking off the cobwebs of the night. You dressed and left the room briskly, skipping breakfast, for you were determined to be about your business at City Hall as quickly as possible in the hopes of catching the train out of town that afternoon. You had already had your fill of that purgatory named Innsmouth. You made your way up the potholed sidewalk the three blocks to Town Hall. Your disappointment when you arrived could not have been more profound. The building was locked, closed, some vaguely pagan civic holiday. It seemed you would be staying in Innsmouth another day. You could not bear to return to the dreary inn, so you resolved to set about the town and explore. You truly should have simply returned and spent the day indoors with your books, for that simple stroll left you quite unnerved. The town itself was dilapidated and crumbling. The historian in you was fascinated by the local interpretation of colonial architecture. But as a civilized person, you are repelled by the repugnant faces that peeked out at times from behind shattered windows. These people of Innsmouth bore witness to the most disturbing signs of inbreeding and genetic decay it had ever been your misfortune to witness. Their wide, broad faces with eyes far out of proportion and oversized. Broad, flat noses. And perhaps most eerie of all, their strange, shuffling gait as they walked. Particularly disturbing when they were just outside your field of view or draped in shadows. At times, they seemed barely human. Perhaps the most disturbing sight on that day in Innsmouth was one of the inhabitants out taking a stroll with his dog on a leash. Except what should have been an innocent, even serene scene of a man and his best friend was gravely disturbing. For if you gazed too long upon the beast, you realized it was no dog. Rather, it seemed to be some pig and fish hybrid. Its porcine snout was framed by two large goggle eyes. Instead of fur, its bloated body was covered with a scaly hide. You quickly averted your eyes in disgust and horror, speeding on your way. The day passed as if in a reverie. You know not how many streets you traversed before finally dusk began to set. If there was a town more dreary and repressive than Innsmouth, you sure would never visit it. You returned to the inn after a short dinner of barely edible boiled meats and some vegetable with which you were as unfamiliar from a nearby eatery. The innkeeper barely acknowledged your return with even a grunt of disdain. Your room was once again oppressive and dull. You did not care, for you were overcome with sudden exhaustion once again. Your travel had worn on you, and your poor night's rest the previous evening left you feeling ragged. You resolved to make up for lost sleep and awaken early so you could be about your business and take your leave of this wretched town. Sleep came quickly, but once again your rest was fitful and cursed by terrible dreams. You awoke once more in the middle of the night, convinced you were not alone in your room. This time, you were correct. Several hooded figures surrounded your bed. As they approached, you opened your mouth to scream, only to have your face covered in fabric soaked in something which stung your eyes and nose. Struggling against your kidnappers' firm grips, you quickly passed out. You regained consciousness slowly, painfully, a throbbing in your head and a chemical taste in your mouth. You were lying on a cold, hard floor, stone. The flickering of torches revealed a large, ragged cavern that extended further than you could see. The air was moist with sea spray, and you could hear the crashing of waves in the distance, along with a faint chanting. The words were indecipherable, but their intent urgent, menacing. You attempted to stand. Your legs were shaky. It was then you discovered the chain and the collar. A large braid of iron extended from your neck to a bolt sunk in the floor. You gave it a tug, but it held firm. You were not going to be walking any more than a few feet from where you stood. Next, you noticed that all your clothing had been taken from you. Instead, you were wearing a pale, white, hooded robe. You were naked underneath. It also seemed you had been bathed. You smelled faintly of lavender and lilies. You had but minutes to truly grasp your predicament when you heard it. It did not rustle or slosh. Rather, it was a sound similar to air being let out of a balloon. A massive figure, at least as large as a bus, appeared out of the dimness at the far side of the cave. It moved slowly, ponderously. As it approached you, you could see it was not made of flesh. Rather, it seemed composed entirely of foam, like the remains of a tide pool left behind by the sea. It neared you, and you could make out more features. Many of the bubbles were, in fact, eyes, and it was not completely formless, as dozens of giant tentacles sprouted from its top. You should have been terrified, and a part of you was screaming at the alienness of this eldritch creature as it slowly approached. But mostly, you were just calm, as if the inevitable had replaced panic with a strange sense of serenity. It was then that you realized the lavender smell was not actually coming from you, because it grew stronger as the monster approached. You also began to detect an underlying musk. As you were overwhelmed by the smell, your serenity faded and was replaced by intrigue. No, not intrigue. For between your legs, you were now dripping wet. A kind of ecstasy, the power of which you had never felt before, wafted over you. This was lust. It was wrong, unspeakable, even evil. But you wanted this creature as you had wanted no man or woman. You knew within its grasp you would find a kind of fulfillment you had never known. The slow, steady measure of its approach was excruciating. If you had not been chained, you would have run to it. It approached closer, closer still, until it stopped, towering over you. Its gurgling mass mere feet in front of you. You strained at your chain, trying to move closer to meet its embrace. Suddenly, one of those tentacles lashed out, striking you on your ass. You fell forward, landing hard on your knees, your palms striking the cold stone. Your robe spilled open. You struggled to stand, but another tentacle fell upon your bruised bottom. this time sending you sprawling, face down on the floor. You lie there, trembling, wondering if you are about to be crushed by a hail of those mighty blows. Instead, a tentacle wrapped itself firmly around your right ankle. Then another grabbed your left arm. Soon, the rest of your free limbs were likewise entwined. You were pinned down. They might as well have been steel cables, their strength far outmatching yours. You dared not even struggle. As you were held there against the cold ground, three proboscis emerged from within the creature. These were very different from the tentacles which held you fast. They were almost delicate. Silken filaments the width of an arm. These organs slowly neared you, and as they approached, you saw them beginning to emit a clear ooze from their tip. This mucus flowed freely, dripping on the floor, and slowly dripping down those great shafts, coating them by the time they reached you. Your eyes widened as you realized the monster's intentions. You were both terrified and overcome with pure lust. You opened your mouth to scream, but were silenced by the first probe forcing itself into your mouth. You choked and gagged, though the taste was not unpleasant. Slightly sweet, with perhaps a hint of vanilla. So overcome were you with this intrusion that you almost didn't notice the other probes as they entered your pussy and anus. Almost. Those silken coils filled you as never before. You could feel them writhe and squirm inside you, penetrating you deeper and deeper. That warm, sticky, sweet fluid flowed deep inside of you. Suddenly you came hard, then again and again, every muscle twitching, spasms racking your fragile form. Finally, you fainted. You awoke once more in your bed in the inn. Rain beat against the window, but it was clearly morning. You quickly gathered your coat and wrapped a scarf around your head for additional protection against the rain as you grabbed your umbrella and set off to town hall. The night's horror dismissed as more night terrors and fanciful dreams. Your errand there was blissfully brief, as the local administration seemed the only modern artifice in this terrible place. They had all the information required for your research and were able to provide copies. You returned shortly to your room to begin packing your few belongings for your return home. However, when you removed your scarf, you beheld a most unsettling sight. Large clumps of hair were stuck to the damp cloth. You panicked and rushed to the mirror inside the small bathroom. The sight was even more terrifying than you could have imagined. Only a few clumps of hair remained of your beautiful locks. What's more, your forehead had begun to take on a pale, scaly sheen. You raised your hands to your face in horror, but then you saw that your fingers were now twisted and curled. You could not straighten them as they clenched into a fist. You returned and sat on the bed, attempting to quell the rising panic. The room whirled about you as you grasped at disorganized thoughts. Surely there must be some explanation. You must be afflicted with some strange disease. It was then thoughts of the creature. that monster from the night before. You knew the terrible truth. It had done something to you. Changed something. You screamed. You are well cared for by the residents of Innsmouth. They appear to see you with a combination of awe and pity. They are kind in their own way. The highlight of your day is always the morning walk. There is a park near the town hall where you all gather and play. The others, like yourself, changed by the love of a monster beyond your comprehending. This morning is another one of those sunny days in Innsmouth. You are happy to be outdoors again. You spy your companions in the distance. Gently you tug on your leash, urging your master forward towards the others. You have made peace with your fate. What choice do you have? For there indeed are things even more degenerate than the foul, misshapen residents of Innsmouth.